Hey, I'm here with Jason Lipin at XP Gaming, XP 26. So, Jason, I'd like to just start by introducing yourself and tell me a little bit of your background and how you came to start this industry.
For sure. Well, I'm Jason. I'm the founder and CEO of XP Gaming, a company whose mission is to better connect the video game industry for success. I actually started as an engineer in telecoms, and I worked at Telus for 10 years, and I wasn't very passionate about cell phones.
My day job is Telus. I should say that, yeah. Oh, I'm a technology architect at Telus. Yeah.
Cool.
I've been there for 16 years, so.
So we were colleagues.
Yeah, we were colleagues. I'm in the business solutions end, not the mobility arm, but
yeah,
there you go.
So I wasn't very passionate about cell phones.
So don't say too many bad things.
No worries. No, I had a very good career with Telus.
Yeah.
But I wanted a career that I could be passionate about, and I was always in love with video games, even well into my late 20s. So I wonder if I could make a living out of gaming. And I applied to a lot of engineering roles for gaming. And I didn't even get a single interview. So I kept looking around for...
Do you feel that's because you didn't come up through like a video game program? Do you think that's why they just looked at your resume and said, oh, this is a telecom guy, he won't know how to do it?
I think I didn't know enough about the industry to know how to position myself.
Right, right.
I didn't even know Canada had a video game industry. Like,
really?
Games even made in Canada.
Wow, okay.
So I was a bit pessimistic starting of like, there's probably not many jobs out there. And I eventually like went to meetups and met founders, one who was building a video game show. At the time it was called Nothing, but it went on to be called EGLX. And in 2016, I was able to quit my job and join Enthusiast Gaming, get into gaming on the media side of things. And so I was covering video games for media, I was doing a business consumer event, and I was seeing an opportunity where I'm like, oh, business people are coming to my show, but then it's not really catered for them. They don't have a place. They want to do business, but this isn't the place to do it. So I thought there'd be a place to have a business conference. And I actually wanted to build it at EGLX. But in the end, it turned out it was a better opportunity to leave and start my own company. And I wanted to build it in 2020. We all know what happened there.
Exactly.
So I wasn't able to get started. I found myself jobless through my foolish decisions. And finally, when the world opened up again, I was still committed to doing this. And we did XP Game Summit. At the time, it was called the XP Game Developer Summit. And we did it in 2022 here in Toronto. And it was
a hybrid show too, right? Like it was online and
oh
in
my
person.
Goodness, yes, it was a lot of technical challenges. We had speakers on stage talking to people on screens and feedback loops, and it was chaotic.
Yeah.
And everyone was masked still, and
yeah. So
but we had a good showing, we had good partner support, and I was like, there's something here. And so we just kept nurturing that and building on it. And there was some highs and lows. And here at our fifth year anniversary, I'd say we finally achieved a stable show that everyone now has its own identity. And it kind of have a life of its own. Like, I was hearing someone say, like, I hope you have a good XP or something. And, you know, out of context, like, it's not something I'm saying or telling people to say, but there's terminology coming out of the show, and people are just embracing it as their own now.
That's very cool.
And so it started out in Toronto, and the Montreal, it's funny, I never even dreamed. I used to attend MIGs as an attendee.
Yeah, I've been going to MIGs for years.
I had an investor and a mentor who told me, he's like, why don't you pitch MIGs and say to run their show? Yeah, it never crossed my mind. I was like, no, it's too big.
Yeah.
And it turns out, at that time, the license owners of MIGs were looking for a new producer, and they came to my show in 2023, XP Game Summit, and they saw what we were doing. They said, this is what we want for MIGs. We want it to be, at the time, it was called Mega MIGs. It was a hybrid show.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Like, we want the show to be more business-focused, like what you're doing in Toronto. And so we signed a contract. We took over MIGs in 2023. Stripped it of everything that wasn't B2B. So we're going to do one thing. We're going to focus on meetings and business conversation. It was a smash hit. Everybody loved it. The format was very well received. And so now we've been building MIGs on that, adding every year a few elements. And as we were building this identity all in Montreal and Toronto, we kept encountering people say, can we have one in Vancouver? Can we have one on the East Coast? And so I entertained them. And after Montreal, we did one in Vancouver because it made a lot of sense to have a West Coast presence.
Yeah, there's a big industry in the West Coast for sure.
Partners for a community. And then the East Coast thing came about with partners. They said, you know, we could probably do something here. I said, well, I don't think Atlantic is that big. But they rallied partners and they said, we'll be your partners. We'll take some risk with you. Bring your know-how to the East Coast. And we're aiming for a 200-person people event lot here. And we hit 200 people.
Great.
And the energy was great. We got partners. It was well-funded. And I'm like, wow, if you can make it here, you can pretty much make it anywhere.
Right.
But it was a very wholesome show.
Yeah.
And so with that, I always had this vision of connecting Canada as phase one. And I'd say we achieved that as of last year. Phase two is how do we connect the world? I don't have the answer right now. I don't think the world and the industry needs more shows built. There's over 300 that exist around the world right now. But I think XP can play a part in better connecting people at and around those shows. And so we're talking with a lot of partners. We're exploring a lot of opportunities. And if I have it my way in the next 5-10 years, I see XP being this force of connection throughout the world where people see it as a means to further their goals, whether it's grow their company, fund their games, find new projects to fund, whatever it may be, find work. Mm-hmm. XP will help you get there.
Great. So I noticed when I looked up the East and the West Coast events, they're smaller scale events. They're one day events, I think, right?
That's right. Now we call those XP Game Connects.
Right, where it's really just a hyper focused come in, meet other businesses. Get your pitches in, maybe there's some schools, that kind of thing. And are you hoping over the years that they become the scale of XP? Is that a goal? Or are you trying to make XP is kind of our core experience? These are our more connected experiences in the East and West.
So we build everything around the needs. So some people ask me like, oh, do you want to be the next GDC? And I can flatly say no.
Right.
I don't think the industry needs another GDC. I think people love connecting in a more intimate setting. Intimate is 200 to 3,000 people to me.
Yep.
I think that's the sweet spot for a show. So XP Game Summit was built as an alternative to MIGS when I used to be jealous of MIGS and I wanted to copy them.
Right.
And then I took over MIGS. I was like, well, now what do I do?
Right.
And so XP Game Summit got its own identity where it's more this indie show where as I built it, people actually start. The first time someone told me they preferred XP Game Summit over MIGS, I was flabbergasted. And I recognize we built our own identities and people are resonating with different things. They said, oh, we love that Tenno Hotel. We love that so much more smaller. And then the Game Connects, the one-day shows, were built around financial constraints, where it didn't make sense to do a two-day show in all these settings with a much bigger budget. We had to figure out, can we make this work with a fraction of the budget? And those constraints, at first I looked at, oh, this is going to be so small, nobody's going to like it. And again, by doing it, people loved it, and they said, we love these small ways to connect, and it just, so there's an expression here of like you through adversity you find kind of, you know, we set out with a certain vision, but it's ultimately the market that teaches us
right.
What people want. And so I've learned to be very receptive and not force my own ideologies and vision, but to adapt around people. And so like Vancouver and Atlantic, the venues were oftentimes donated as a sponsorship. In Vancouver, we do it out of the coalition, Microsoft Coalition.
Right, I sponsor Microsoft, yeah.
And you know, I go in there and I go, oh, I don't have my panel rooms, I don't have this, I have these three small rooms, how do I work with them? So we're forcing us to be creative and how we format, how we build. And we found a way that people love it, they enjoy it. I never hear someone say, it's too small, I don't like this. It's always, oh, that's a great idea. I love this, and so we're figuring it out along with our communities.
Excellent. How do you find the cultural differences at your two big shows, MIGS and XP? Ontario and Quebec are very different beasts.
Yeah.
So how do you differentiate kind of the vibe as you're building it now that you're running both shows?
That's a good question. It's a very conscious decision we make of what is the identity of each show. How do we ensure that they do not compete with each other? And so we've positioned Montreal as, for MIGS, as our international hub to North America.
Definitely.
Montreal, it's in the name, Montreal International Game Summit. It has a legacy. It's been around for 20 years, and it's where the industry traditionally connected internationally. It is the second largest show in North America after GDC. And so Montreal itself is one of the largest game development hubs in the world. So it already has all that momentum going for it. And so that's how we position it as it is the international destination for business. But what we see a lot of affinity is this destination between Europe and North America. The West Coast to Montreal, it's a 5-hour flight. Europe to Montreal, it's a 5 to 6 hour flight. It's very central.
Right.
It's in a hub. And there's no way Toronto can replace that. Where Toronto thrives is we are still the smaller show that's very built in an indie ecosystem with a lot of indie energy. We're in the spring, so we're exactly a half a year from MIGS. And so while there aren't the same maybe AAA opportunities as you would find at MIGS, it leads more indie AA with a little bit of AAA, whereas MIGS is a broader spectrum that's more international. So we position Montreal as our international show and Toronto as our Canada show. Our tagline is Canada connects here.
Right.
And so that's how we see Toronto, its identity. And now Vancouver, we've lightly announced it. We're positioning Vancouver to be the gateway to Asia. Asia to Canada. We've recognized it's very difficult to get Asian companies to Toronto or Montreal because of the time zone and the flights. So Vancouver gives us a bit of an edge where it's already understood as that hub.
Right.
And so now that Vancouver is going to be the identity of,
great,
we don't expect it to be European companies to come in, but we're going to focus on making it a hub for Canadians to meet with Asian partners.
It's really cool. Since you're kind of across the country now, have you, and you talk to a lot of the industry folks, have you noticed which province is the most friendly to support games from a financial perspective? From a I hear a lot of great stuff from Ontario, but I really don't know how good Quebec is to small developers, how good BC is to small developers. Is there one province you would say is the gold standard and other provinces should kind of look at what they do?
All the provinces are supporting in their own way, in a very positive way. We have government support across all our shows. And I think we have different strategies. What Quebec has done with their industry, there were trailblazers that other countries around the world copied the model of the tax credit and how to really nurture an industry that can then thrive. All of the tax credits are present in BC, even the Atlantic provinces, Ontario, Quebec, all at different levels. I think the biggest one is actually in Nova Scotia, where we are this year in Halifax.
Interesting.
If I remember correctly,
I know they have a big film credit, and they have a big, so maybe that extends to gaming as well.
Yeah, I think the tax credit there is like 45%.
Wow.
Don't quote me on that. It's definitely over 40. I think in comparison, Ontario is 35 or 40. And then Quebec, it's low 30s, if I remember correctly. So then BC, they actually increased it. I think they're in their 20s now.
Okay.
But it went up recently. So
okay.
The governments are stepping in with those tax credits for the companies. And then they are supporting shows like ours to help bring in international delegations and to create more opportunities for their ecosystems.
I've been to a number of big shows. I've been to, this is my first XP game, so I'm going to try to come back every year. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a newer show. And when I saw you guys are running this, I'll start trying to come to this so I can attend 2 shows in Canada every year. I do go to PAX and a couple other shows every year. But when you think about the people you invite to speak at these events, like, has there ever been like a holy grail speaker that you've been really trying to get? And either they came or, you know, scheduling just didn't work, but you're really hoping they would come.
Yeah, I think we always, you know, want the legends of our industry. Like, right. I was in the early days, the first year of XP, I actually reached out to Reggie Fils-Aimé, former president of America.
A fantastic speaker.
He was available. I couldn't afford him.
Okay. Yeah, because now he's a speaker, right?
Like,
that's his
an
job
agency
now.
Representing him.
Yeah.
I remember I said, okay, well, because it was a hybrid show, I couldn't afford him coming in person.
Right.
So what does the virtual model look like? And as we were just getting started, I'm like, on one hand, I was like, well, it's beyond my budget. On the other hand, I was like, could our show even support a legend? Like, it would attract too much attention.
Right.
So we wouldn't be able to support the attendance.
And they might actually portray a different vibe than what the show really is, right?
Right. Like, it's a mismatch.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be amazing.
But that was my holy grail. You know, since then, I found there's a lot of the holy grails are kind of in the people recognize the games oftentimes before the speaker.
Right.
Like, yes, we have the established speakers from, I think, the OGIP, like the creators behind Doom, Mario, Zelda. Those I feel are almost untouchable, you know, the Miyamotos of the world.
Yeah.
But when you start saying, what's a great game that I enjoyed?
Clair Obscur.
Clair Obscur is a fantastic, you know, game.
It's a people mix,
So I played Clair Obscur last year. I'm like, this is going to be Game of the Year material. I just knew it. And I rushed to get a speaker from that studio to mix. And we actually booked the combat designer of Expedition 33. Nobody knew who that person was
at the time,
but everybody, well, a lot of people didn't know. But people knew that how amazing the combat was in that game. So we had massive lineups when, by the time Migs rolled around, they had risen to a lot more recognizability. And then after the Game Awards, I tried to book them again for their show, and they're untouchable now. And I was like,
that's how quick things change, right? Like last year, you grabbed them. Now you're like,
it's not even an ego thing. No shade to them. It was very much they're solicited by a lot of events.
Right.
They said, we've gotten so much recognition, we kind of want to be low key.
Right.
So they're very humble and they just want to focus on their game. And actually, another holy grail that I remember in my first year, I was a big fan of Hollow Knight, and I wanted to get Team Cherry out.
Nice.
And they replied to me, and they said, oh, we don't think we can make the travel work. It wasn't budget, it was just logistics.
Right.
And now I don't think I could get them to reply to my emails.
No, because the Silk Song just came out, and they're a festival. it's those kind of things get very interesting and it's very difficult. And I've... Like when you go to a PAX, you do get these big names. But at Migs, they've had a number of big people in the past. So it's nice to see. I think, as you said, because it's a Montreal international, you tend to get the bigger ones here. It was really nice to see the minister this morning. That was great.
First time that we had representative of our show.
Great. And what a speaker. I mean, he's a politician.
Great energy,
Great energy, you know.
Usually, you know, you get some that are dry.
Yeah.
He's very dry, very self-aware of the stereotype. So, very good. But even, like, talking about keynotes, even for XP this year, we booked a speaker from Horizon Forbidden West.
Yes.
One of the lead designers.
I think the panel's tomorrow.
That's right, for Guerrilla Games.
Yeah.
So we're attracting more of these big AAA titles. Even at Biggs last year, we had the COO of the studio behind Helldivers 2.
Yes, I went to her talk. I interviewed her, actually.
Great.
Yeah, that was a great chat.
We're
going
to pull those.
Yeah.
We're already lining up great speakers for Biggs this year.
Yeah.
I can't reveal anyone.
I'm excited.
It's going to be good headlines.
So I took a pause from Migs. COVID kind of made me pause a few things. I only went to PAX, but I went to the last two Migs, and I'm like, you know what, I'm going to make this my regular thing. It's in Canada. I'm in Ottawa to Montreal. It's 2 hours away. It's so simple to get there. But I'm going to keep doing that. One thing I did notice, and I haven't looked at the whole game expo room, but it seems bigger than it Migs.
Bigger than Migs?
Yeah.
In terms of games?
Yeah.
So I'm reflecting a lot on that. The show has built the identity where there's more indie games here.
Right.
We, especially the Migs, and I wonder if it's because our booths were too expensive at Migs. And so we're going to test that theory out this year. We've made our booths at Migs more affordable than ever.
Okay, good.
And I'm going to see if it was really a budgetary thing or if it's just maybe the indies at Migs would rather do meetings than showcasing.
Gotcha.
Because I hear that a lot, where they want to be tied to a booth.
Yeah, they only have two or three people on their team.
They want to be pitching and
doing meetings and stuff.
The publisher presence at Migs is also bigger.
Yes.
It's a bigger show in many ways. So here we have about 20 publishers. Migs is pretty much double everything.
Yes.
So there's about 40, 50 publishers. So the attendance is twice as big. Everything is literally just 2x at Migs.
Right. And, this is going to be your baby, I'm sure. This is your soft spot. This is the one that you blood, sweat, and teared over. And so you mentioned, you know, when you had that pause 20 to 2022. So what did you do to incubate the show during that period? Like, how did you keep the dream alive?
We had our first show planned for April 2020.
Yep.
So when we had to shut everything down, I had a few partners and speakers lined up. I said, well, do you guys want to do this virtual? It'll be a free show. We'll call it XP Online. And we ran it on Mixer. Our partners were Microsoft that year.
Nice.
And it was lightly attended, but...
RIP Mixer, eh?
Sorry?
Rest in peace, Mixer.
Sorry, yeah. And it was, you know, it kept a bit of an identity and the momentum from a marketing. And then 2021, everything was still closed, and I was taking on contract work and doing teaching and surviving. And some people said, are you doing XP online again? We have some budget. And so last minute, I spun it around in 8 weeks. And I was like, yeah, of course we are.
And well planned.
And we spun up another online edition. Okay. This time we had Matchmaking. Was my voice. And it kept going. And so now I had a bit of momentum. I had more partnership relationships. I said, 2022, we're going in person. And that's what I count as our first year, because
well, of course, yeah,
it's very different in person. And then we just, we took a lot of our plans in 2020. And then we just put them in place for 2022 with what we had learned from our online experiences. And it was the template for where we are today. This week, polished it a lot
more. So just a few minutes left, but I do want to quickly touch on like the synergy you've now formed with the Canadian Game Awards. So how did that come about? Because it's on the same time period that obviously had to be planned very carefully, I'm sure.
Well,
see you around.
I'll see my throat last.
Okay.
So it's funny because the Canadian Game Awards wanted to start in 2020.
Okay.
And we were coordinating with them to do it all together back in 2020. So Coral and I had this vision, and we brought it together in 2023. We actually did synergize XP Game Summit and the Game Awards, and it didn't go so well that year for the Game Awards in 2023, and they took a pause in 2024 and brought it back last year, and it came back to the level of quality that they wanted and had ironed out a lot of the bugs and stuff. And so this year we're like, let's bring it back to what we wanted to do. And it wasn't on my radar anymore because the Game Awards had moved to February. And so we always thought the timing wouldn't work. And the Game Awards always said, well, we don't want to be in the spring. It's too late to celebrate the industry. And they got a lot of pressure saying, let's celebrate with XP. Like, the industry's uniting. Let's do something. And they were so concerned that there would be stigma celebrating the industry in the spring. And what we're seeing now, I told Carl, the founder, I said, I think people will always seek an excuse to celebrate our industry no matter when it is.
Yeah.
And I'm like, sometimes it's, again, just like how I experience the identity of our shows changing by keeping an open mind and playing to the constraints. It was like, people are going to love it anyways. And so we made the decision to shift it to May. And I asked him yesterday, I said, what's it looking like? He's like, the best signups we've ever had. The energy is insane. And even on our side, I'm seeing people are like excited for the award.
Look at their hosts.
Yes.
Voice actors of Mass Effect. Oh my God, my brain exploded.
So we're synergizing for the attendee experience. I think we could synergize further in the future for speaker overlap. This is a great year for the Canadian Game Awards. I think the fact that now the stigma has been removed, that the Canadian industry can unite whenever they want. And I remember last year there was actually a snowstorm. How very Canadian.
That's true.
People still showed up.
Yeah, of course.
It's like, this is our industry, this is our weather. But as much as we love our winters, nobody can say no to a nice spring summer, spring day in Toronto. It's just so beautiful.
Exactly. All right, last comments. What is something got you excited for the next 2 to 5 years that you're hoping to unleash?
Oh, good question. I'm in a bit of a pause here this year to reflect. So I've been in build mode for 4 or 5 years now. And last year was, you know, we built Atlantic. We built our business-to-consumer show, VGLX, which is in its infancy, but I really, that's the Video Game Live Expo.
Yep.
I'm excited for that to grow into a very large community-focused fan event. And we expanded MIGS. The scale of MIGS expanded drastically last year. Those were really large and risky projects, and we succeeded. So this year, it's a reflection year on what is XP's strategy to become a global brand? And so I'm going to China Joy later this year. I'm still going to meet with partners in Asia. I already have partners in Europe. We have partners in Brazil. People know who we are. People want to work with us. And I'm very excited to see what that's going to materialize into, because XP is recognized across Canada. And I think it's only within 5 years we're going to be recognized around the world. I already see it happening. So
amazing.
That's what I'm excited for.
Well, I'm looking forward to see that. Thank you so much, Jason. I really appreciate your time. Good luck. Go get some mints. And
yeah.
It happens quick sometimes. You know? Yeah, all good. No, it was perfect. Thank you so much.